Go ahead and grab your Bibles, if you would, please. Hold those up in the air and repeat this after me. This is my Bible. I believe what it says. I can have what it says I can have. And I can do what it says I can do. I choose to open up my heart and my mind to God's Word today. Amen. Amen. You can go ahead and open up your Bibles to the book of Romans chapter 1. I'm going to get there in just a second. I want to lay a little foundation of this series and why we're doing it. You know, we live in a world that tries to tell people all kinds of things. And one of the things that the world extremely is against is the fact that we were created by God. If I was to sum up today in one sentence, it would be, we were made by God. It's important. That's a huge belief system. That's not a fairy tale. That's not a Sunday school lesson. It's not something just to push to the side. It creates all kinds of purpose for us. It creates all kinds of destiny, all kinds of meaning. And to take that out of the picture, then all accountability is gone. All purpose for our lives and why we're here and why we're to do what we're to do, all that begins to fade away beyond taking the hope of the world to come out of our existence. It's important that we understand God is real and God made us. And the attack upon that belief is not small. It's not something to be pushed to the side. It's something to be addressed. We're going to be addressing that today. We're going to be talking about the existence of God. It's, you're not weird or crazy to believe that. The foundation to believe that God is there is one of the key elements of faith. You'll find it in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. I'll just read it to you. For whoever would come near to God must necessarily believe that God exists. Big deal to have faith begin. You got to believe that he's there and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him out. And so today, in talking about the existence of God, talking about his creation and what we see, it's important that I help give you some tangible ideas, some tangible thoughts about our faith. Our faith is not just fairy tale. It's not just a blind faith. There is real reason to believe what we believe. You know, sometimes people like to make us think that we just like to serve God as a crutch and we just kind of made him up as a myth. But the reality is, even thinking people can believe there's a God. Even people that look around them and use logic and reason, even scientific minds can believe there is a God. We are not so far out there as a bunch of crazies as the world might make us want to believe. We can believe and be proud of the fact that we believe there is a God and that God made us. Amen? The Bible tells us here in Romans chapter 1, I want to talk to you about this battle. It's been going on for quite some time to get people to believe other than what God has created us to believe, and even using creation to do so. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. There are people out there that like to suppress the truth. Because that which is known about God is evident within them. God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power, his divine nature have been clearly seen. You know, we were supposed to be able to look at creation and see the fingerprints of God. In the intricacies of the painting, in the beauty of the design, we were supposed to see something. First, that he's there, that a designer designed all this, that these systems and how they operate and how they're integrated, it all points to a mind that thought it through. And then to realize some things about that creator's nature, and that is that he's good and then he's kind. And when he made this planet, he made it with beauty and he made it to sustain us and take care of us. So that means that the creator who put all this together must really think something special about us. We are supposed to look around us and see the heart and the beauty and the intelligence of our God and his tremendous love for us. Amen. I mean, we can see the beauty of the rivers and the waterfalls. We can see the mountains. We can see the sunrises. We can see the solar system and all this stuff and see the beauty of God's design. And what's so cool is it speaks of his nature. Just like an artist who paints paintings that are filled with hard, dark, cold, you know, difficult topics and full of anger and all kinds of pain in their artwork. It speaks something about them as the artist. But when we see the artist and the beauty of who made all this, and we can see the rose and we can see the beautiful animals and the birds and the variety of all this stuff, we see the care that God took. We see the kindness in his heart, the way he's made this world sustain us and take care of us and do things for us. We see the beauty of the nature of this artist, our God. Even this world right now, the way it stands in a fallen state, still has tremendous beauty in it, still has tremendous awesome things on the inside, which tells me this, that our God made something so beautiful and so good that even in a fallen state, beauty still pierces through. That just gives you a glimpse of how much he invested in this culture and in this creation to let us know how much he loves us and who he is. Isn't that awesome? Amen. Yeah, you can celebrate that. That's fine. Having been clearly seen, being understood, though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. They exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man, and of birds, and of four-footed animals, and crawling creatures. You know, that's kind of what's happened in our culture throughout generations, is they exchanged the truth, knowing that God made all this, because they wanted to live a life without God, because our societies and our cultures, there couldn't be a God, because if there's a God, then they can't do anything they want to do. You can't live any old way you want to live. You're not the king of your own life or the master of your own destiny. There is accountability. If there's design, then there's a designer. There's a creation, then there's a creator. And there's reason, and there's motive, and there's expectation. And in their mind, they want to live and do whatever their flesh wants to do. Therefore, we want to answer to no one. And so we will believe anything except there is a God. The Bible says the fool says in his heart that there is no God. But yet they tell us we're fools because we believe all of these things point to the creation of our God. Therefore, God gave them over in the lust of their hearts, so the impurity of their bodies would be dishonored among them, for they exchanged the truth of God, there it is again, for a lie, and they worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever and ever. Amen. I want to give you some thoughts today and some tools, some logic, some reason, to help you understand that believing in God and believing that God created us and started this whole thing doesn't make you unintelligent. Doesn't make you a mockery or a fool. Even our culture would love to humiliate you and try to embarrass you and tell you that you must not be a thinking person because you believe in a God and because you believe God originated all this. I want to help you with some of that thought. It's also important, not just in sharing your faith with people who don't believe like we do, but also there are times in our lives where we kind of need faith to be more than just words and faith. You know, there's difficult times, there's seasons of hardship, there's tragedies that happen in our life, there's persecutions that go on, trials we walk through. And there's a time where it's nice to be able to look around and to see the reality of God with our eyes and not just hope he's there in our heart. Are you understanding? See, creation was supposed to help us with that when we go through difficult times and to see that it's not just a theology that I believe, but the same God that hung the sun and the moon and the stars and that planted all this and the same God that could create all this, he's the one taking care of me. Do you see how that was supposed to bring you faith and hope and how the devil would love nothing more than to remove any hope or faith away from your life and make you think all you believe is in fairy tales, all you believe is just Sunday school lessons and teachings and flannel graphs. You have reason behind what you believe. Amen. And so today I want to give you some of those reasons. One of the foundations that we believe as Christians is found in Genesis chapter 1:1. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 is one of the most hotly contested verses in the Bible. And it's simple. It just says this: in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That one statement alone will set people on fire, angry, because if God made it, then that means they're here by divine design. That means they're here and a designer put them here, a creator put them here, and they don't want to submit or surrender to that idea. Are you understanding? God did make us. It's huge in our belief system, and I'm going to get into in the Bible in a second how rooted this idea that we were made in the image of God. It's who we are. It's what we believe. It's why I believe. I don't just act like an animal. I have to live with morals, and I have to live with character, and I have to live in the design that God created. I can't just do whatever my flesh wants to do. And I remember the first time I challenged somebody. I was a waiter at a local restaurant here in town, and I was sharing my faith with one of the guys in the back in the kitchen. And he just loved doing anything his flesh wanted to do. And we were just having a conversation about God and all this stuff. And he made a comment to me and he said, you know, we're all just animals anyways. We're all just, you know, we just came from monkeys. And I stopped him and I said, I did not come from a monkey. Don't you talk about my mama that way. She will get up all Italian in your face and make sure you never say that again. But it was interesting because he looked at me kind of funny and I was like, are you making fun of me? And he's like, no. He's like, I have never met anyone who didn't believe that. And I was like, well, let me introduce myself. My name's Kevin Kringle and I was made by God. I was made in the image of God. There was thought put into me. I was fearfully and wonderfully made in my mother's womb. His hands put me together. His thoughts put me on my path of life. I have purpose. I have function. I have reason and intelligence to be here. I have a future and a hope. I have a God. And he has a reason for why we exist, everybody. There is a God and he made you. We're not here by chance or by accident. We didn't just happen upon the scene. We were placed here. Amen. This is huge throughout our Bible. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3 says, by faith we understand that the entire universe, that's everything out there, was formed by God's command, that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. God created everything out of nothing. Exodus 20, verse 11, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything that is in them. Acts 4, verse 24, the sovereign Lord said, you made heaven, the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. Acts 14, 15, the apostles were trying to keep people from worshiping them at this point. Some miracles would happen. And they said, friends, why are you doing this? We too are only human like you. We are bringing you the good news, telling you to turn from these worthless things to the living God who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. Revelation 10:6, and he swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created the heavens and all that is in them, and the earth and all that is in it, and the sea and all that is in it, and said, there will be no more delay. Everything that we see in the heavens and in the earth and in the sea were all made by the hands of God. God put them there for a reason. God was the designer. God was the creator. It was his intellect that put it together. We will spend the rest of this life's existence just observing the beauty of what he created. Amen. This is rooted in our belief system. This is rooted in our Bibles as Christians. And I want to help you with this because sometimes we get intimidated by our culture. We try to shake hands with our culture and we feel bad or embarrassed or like we're foolish because they tell us we're fools because we believe there's a God and that's not scientific and that's not logical. And they begin to try to humiliate you and push you into a corner and make fun of you, make you think that you don't belong or you don't fit in or you're just one of those crazy class over there because you believe there's a God, and you're not crazy, and you're not foolish, and this is what our Bible believes. And by the way, if you're scared to step out of sync with science in this culture, your Bible's always going to do that. The culture already resists most of what our Bible says when it comes to the supernatural. I believe Jesus was born of a virgin, and our scientific community cannot accept that. Are you understanding? Our Bible tells us all kinds of miracles happen that are unexplainable by science and that people weren't there to see, but then the experts try to define. I remember watching the History Channel, and if it's on the History Channel, it must be true. Because it's the History Channel. And there was a thing about the Bible, and there was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they were thrown into the fiery furnace, and the PhD doctor of whatever, who knows what, was sitting there saying, oh, the reason that they didn't die in the fiery furnace was because it was heated so hot, they must have fallen into the center where there would have been a cold spot in the center. Claiming to be wise, the Bible says. Because they cannot put into their thinking the miraculous hand of God. Because if there's miracles, there's a miracle maker. You understanding? And it's like in their story, they don't take into account that when they opened the gates of the fiery furnace, the fire was so hot it killed everybody that threw them in. They should have died before they ever got to the cold spot. But yet they totally ignore that and put it on the History Channel like, see, we've explained away God again. And they will do that again and again. Everywhere in our Bibles steps out of sync with popular belief. Are you understand? With the world's belief. Because the world can't believe in God. Because if they accept the fact that there's a God and there's a designer and there's a creator, then there's accountability. Are you understanding? They want to be God. And they can't believe anything, and they will believe anything else other than the fact that there's a God. You see, the three kind of beliefs in our culture right now, one belief is that idea of creation, which I'm going to talk to you about today, creation. That's the belief that God created us with purpose, with meaning, with value. The second idea, the predominant idea, is the idea of evolution, which everything's here by chance. Everything just kind of happened. This ancient soup mixture just kind of created everything. And then the third, which is lesser believed, and I won't address today, is this group that sees so many holes in the evolution because they know that things have to be planned, things have to be designed. They don't want to accept the fact that there's a God, but yet they can't accept the holes in evolution. And so then this other group over here believes that aliens started everything. So I'm not going to address that today. I'm going to address these two, creation and evolution. Like I said before, they try to make you feel like you're not smart, you're unintelligent because you believe in a creator, because you believe in God. And I want to tell you, there's a myth out there. The myth is, if you're a real scientist, you believe in evolution. I want to show you today, in just this little brief portion, that there are plenty of scientists throughout history, respected scientists, brilliant thinkers, that believed there was a God, and that believed all that they saw and all that they were observing with their skills and with their learning were the fingerprints of Almighty God. Many of these scientists that I will list for you right now are people that are now fathers of certain scientific theory and thought and beliefs. You're going to recognize some of their names, some of them you won't. You can go look them up later if you'd like, but I just want you to see that if you believe in God and you believe that God made the heavens and the earth and you believe that we have a designer and a creator, you're in good company. In the field of physics, one of the most famous that we know of is Isaac Newton believed there was a God and that God created everything. He's the one that we credit for the laws of motion and gravity. James Clerk Maxwell, with his studies in electricity and magnetism, also believed there was a God and that God created everything. William Thomas Kelvin of the Kelvin scale and his work in physics with absolute temperature, he believed there was a God and all of these systems and laws were in place because God put them there. In mathematics, Blaise Pascal, with his work in probabilities and mechanical calculators and all of his theories and probabilities, with all of that mathematics going on, he knew and saw the relevance that God put all these things in order. All of these outcomes were because of the hand of God. Chemistry, in the field of chemistry, Robert Boyle, with his work in absolute pressure and volumes and in gases, believed there was a creator, the God of the Bible. John Dalton, with his work in atomic theory. These are not unintelligent people, everybody. Believe there was a God and believe that God was the creator of the theories that he was putting into place and that he was learning about. William Ramsay, a Nobel Prize winner, with his discovery of argon and krypton and neon, all these other gases. He believed in the designer. He believed in the creator. He believed in God. In biology, Carl Linnaeus, with his scientific naming of classifying of organisms, he was one of the fathers of that field right there. And in all these organisms that he saw and that he classified, he believed they were made by God. They didn't just arrive upon the scene by chance. Gregor Mendel, father of modern genetics, believed God made us in this world. Louis Pasteur, with his work in microbiology, germ theory of disease and vaccine, where we get the idea of pasteurizing milk, he believed that God was real and that God created these systems and God created these things and how to function within them. He believed in a real God. In geology, Nicholas Steno, he created the principles of fossils in the stratus layers. He saw those fossils there. He saw the strata there, and he knew that God was the designer, and God put all this together, and God's word tells us how those fossils got there. Louis Agassiz, with his work in paleontology and zoology, when he was working with animals, and again, most of these are fathers of some of these ways of doing things in those fields of science, they believed those animals came from God. He believed God was the creator of those things. He believed, like we believe, God is real. In astronomy, see, I'm taking you to all these different fields. You're in good company. In astronomy, Johann Kepler, with the paths of the planets, believed God put those planets in motion and on the path. Galileo believed, with his work on the solar system and in orbits and in creating and modifying and getting better versions of telescopes, he believed God was the designer of all of this. And to see those things out there was to be impressed by his design. He believed like you and I believe. Galileo, William Herschel, with his work in stellar astronomy, he mapped the Milky Way. He personally found over 800 double stars. He named hundreds of stars. He saw those things not as testimonies against God, but as a testimony of God. You are in good company. You are not unintelligent. You are not a fool for believing there is a God. Amen. Even today, there are hundreds and hundreds of real scientists. It's funny when they look at you and they say, oh, it's not real science unless you believe in evolution. There are scientists in chemistry, biology, anatomy, geology, everything, every field of science that believes God was the originator of all this. They have the same amount of degrees that those other individuals have. They have the same hours in the laboratories. They go on the same expeditions. They do the same work and commit themselves to the same practice. They just believe they see the facts differently. See, the other myth, the first myth, is that if you're a scientist, real scientist, you'll believe in evolution. That's not true. There's lots of great scientists that believe in creation and God. And you know, who are you to say they're not a real scientist? You see, it's just a foolish statement to say, because you don't believe like me, your work is invalidated. You see what I'm saying? So what I'm saying is, as a Christian, as a believer, to believe in an intelligent designer and in a creator doesn't make you a fool, doesn't make you ignorant, doesn't marginalize you, like you're not a thinking person. There are lots of educated thinking people who see the facts, who see the chemistry, who see the fossils, who say the same facts. That's the other myth. The other myth is that we ignore the facts. It's not true. These scientists will look at the same fossils. They'll look at the same radiation and how it's dispersed. They'll look at the same stratus layers. They'll look at all the same facts and details. The difference is we don't agree on how they got there. This group over here agrees that they came over billions and billions of years of random chance. This group over here believes they are there because God created them. And throughout the Bible, it explains why those fossils are found there and in those layers. Possibly a major catastrophe on the earth, like the global flood, would account for most of these fossils and how they're mixed and things like that. Yet this group over here cannot believe the Bible, so therefore they have to have other explanations of how those things got there. Scientific fact. Let's talk about scientific fact for a minute. In any science book, you're going to find out scientific fact actually comes when we do three things. It must be observable, testable, and repeatable. Observable, testable, and repeatable. Evolution cannot be observable, testable, or repeatable. It's talking about the origin of all things. No one was there. We weren't there. None of the scientists, none of those making theories today, weren't there. Same thing in creation. Creation, we weren't there. God was there. We weren't there. But again, which basically means this. Let me say this. Basically means this. That both evolution and creation is a belief. It's a belief system about how things originated. You can't call it scientific fact, even in evolution. So the idea is, which belief is more believable? Is it more believable that by random chance, all these systems and orders and beautiful intricacies of how things are created all happened on their own, by themselves, with no encouragement from an outside force? Or is it more believable to be that a designer, a creator, God, when you look at the human body alone and how it works and how it functions and how it heals and how it digests and how it thinks and how it operates, that there was plan that went into that? Which belief is more believable? You know, the one side over here, evolution, says in an unknown chemicals, in a primordial past, through unknown process, which no longer exists, produced unknown life forms, which are not to be found, but could, through an unknown reproductive methods, spawn new life, in an unknown atmospheric composition, in an unknown ocean soup, at an unknown time and place. Or on this side, in creation, at a specific time, approximately 6,000 years ago, in a specific place, the Garden of Eden, specific designs were created by a named designer, God. Everything from that point would follow a set of laws and reproduce after its own kind, which we can still see happening today. Both are a belief. Which one's more believable? Implications. There's no design. There's no designer. There's no definitive purpose. There's no absolute truth. There is no right or wrong. In creation, if there's a design, there's a designer. If there's a purpose, there's a right and wrong. There's accountability. There's reason for being. some concerns I have about the belief of evolution, you know, our origins. Again, I'm not sitting here today trying to be judgmental or arrogant or any of that stuff. I'm not trying to be attacking of anything or anybody. I'm just saying to believe in creation doesn't make you a fool. To believe in God doesn't make you ignorant. There is even logical things in looking around, even scientific things looking around, that God said in Romans point to the fact that he's there. And we will not grasp at straws and try to find any other reason for why they're there just because we don't want to serve God. Are you understanding? There are some thoughts. There's some real, balanced, logical thoughts, even scientific thoughts of why I have a hard time with evolution. You can think about it. Law of biogenesis that you can study in any science book has taught us it's testable, it's repeatable, it's observable. The law of biogenesis is that life comes from life. Life does not come from non-life. In the beginning, we know where our life came from. It came from the one who says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Boom, he gives us life. Life comes from life. We don't see it anywhere in our world or our universe where life comes from non-life. Other thoughts are things in the area of the laws of first and second thermodynamics, where the concept of second thermodynamics is that things go from order to disorder, not from disorder and chaos into order. To me, that's logical. To me, that makes sense. That it seems silly to me to think that chaotic elements and just a mess of chemicals and weather and minerals, all of these by themselves somehow begin to come together to form perfect design. We don't see that in the world we see today. What we see are things that are ordered tend to find themselves going into disorder unless acted on by an outside force. That's that second law of thermodynamics. For instance, my kid's bedroom is messy. And it will not return to order until acted upon by an outside force. Amen. Though they would like to believe in evolution, that if you leave the bedroom for a billion years, it will put itself back together again. I'm not willing to go that far. I say, thus saith the Lord, clean your room. Same thing could be true like with a Swiss watch, beautifully, intricately made. You can shake it in a chaotic way and it will go into disorder, but shaking it will not, in a chaotic way, will not bring it back into order. Do you understand? That's that law of second thermodynamics. It's like car parts in a garage. No matter how long those car parts sit in that garage, a billion years from now, it's not going to turn itself into a car. Not without a designer. Not without a creator. To me, that's logical. Other things that I consider are things in the fossil records. There should be millions of transitional animals and humans found in our fossil records. Millions of transitional animals found in our fossil records. Things where animals are turning from one species to another. See, because we believe that God made everything in its own kind. Now, we believe in variations in those species, don't get me wrong. And we do believe in adaptation, where species will adapt to its environment and slight mutations, where it will become more effective in its environment. But what we've never observed or been able to test or see or redo, we've never seen one species jump from one species to another species. And in our fossil records, we don't see that either. There should be millions of transitional species that we find in our fossil records. And beyond that, when did evolution ever stop? We should be seeing people walking out of the ocean today. Amen. You should be able to go down to the ocean and see all kinds of half fish, half dogs coming out. Maybe we wouldn't have all these houses on the beach. The property would be really cheap. Half dog, half fish coming in my backyard. I'm not living by the beach. But when did evolution stop? Why is it stopped? Why is it not in the fossil records? And they'll say, well, we found the missing link. The truth is, the missing link is still missing. Most of the time with these fossils that they have found, a lot of them they've discovered that they were misproperly placed together, or they would find one piece and they would say, this one piece represents this entire skeletal structure, and they would found this one tooth and this tooth, and later they find out this tooth is the tooth of a pig. But what happens is they have to prove there is no God. They have to prove something. And it shouldn't be hard to find transitional fossils. If millions of years worth of evolution is taking place, they should be everywhere. Our fossil records don't attest to it. Also, there should be lots more human beings on the earth. We're about 100 million years old as an evolved species, if you follow scientific theory. And mathematicians have gone back and they've looked at things and they've said if two human beings started producing and they lived an average generation of 40 years and they had 2.5 kids like we do today, evidently we all have 2.5 kids, over a million years of populating, there should be trillions of people on the earth. And not only that, there should be trillions of people buried within the earth. There's simply not enough people on the earth to be a million years old. Are you understanding that? In the fossil records as well, which is difficult, are other things. You know, they say fossils have all accumulated over a long billions of years, pieces of time. Yet many of the fossil records show really quick fossilization, which actually point to worldwide cataclysmic events. Things like our Bible says a worldwide flood that would freeze things in different stratus layers. You find fossils that could not have decomposed and just laid there on top of a layer for a million years because many of them still have skin on them, bones that still have like muscle tissue and sinews on them. There are fossils that they find that are animals that are actually hurting and killing each other when they were fossilized. There are also other problems with the fossil record, and that is certain fossils are being found in the wrong stratus layers. What does that mean? Evolution would tell you that each layer is a certain era of evolutionary design. And so 10 billion years ago, that's what you find in this layer. And then, you know, 100 million years ago, you were supposed to find this in this stratus layer, and then in this layer, and this layer, and they're supposed to have these nice layers of evolutionary design. But what they keep finding are animals that were supposed to be extinct are being found in higher and higher fossil layers. And they're finding other animals that were supposed to be in higher layers are being found in the wrong stratus layer. They're 10 billion years too young to be in that layer. So basically, what our fossil records is telling us is that all these things somehow were being churned around in some sort of, again, cataclysmic event and then frozen in these positions. But again, we don't want to believe the Bible, therefore we have to find other reasons of why they're there. The fossil records. Another thought, idea that I believe challenges my ability to believe in the theory of evolution is the idea of irreducible complexities. Basically, it's certain things that had to be created in its entirety in order for it to have a purpose and a function. Some people have used the idea of like a mousetrap, where you can't take any part of a mousetrap, a simple mousetrap, away and it still be effective and useful. It's all needed to exist. In science, some creation science scientists would love to, they use the eyeball as one of those examples, where you need every part of your eyeball for it to have meaning, for it to have function, for it to have purpose. It didn't evolve into this beautiful, functioning mechanism that's there today. Now, evolutionists will say that there's fish in the bottom of the ocean that have membranes that are light sensitive and give them billions of years of time, and they will develop, you know, corneas, and they will develop all kinds of things, you know, in those layers. But it's just one of those things where the eyeball would not function, does not work in a progressive state. That other thing with the fish, my guess is this: a billion years from now, you will still see fish with no eyeballs in the bottom of the ocean that are sensitive to light. Because that fish somehow has to tell Junior that there's something to see out there, therefore you need to create yourself a cornea because it's going to make life a whole lot better. And so somehow he's got to communicate that through his DNA and get it to Junior so that Junior, and why does he even know that what he's not seeing is worth seeing? Are you understanding what I'm saying? Or human beings walking around and their eyeballs weren't fully formed. It's like we're walking around bumping into everything and we're telling ourselves, when I have a kid, I'm going to tell him, you're going to have a retina because it's going to make life a whole lot easier. This idea of irreducible complexities, there's images throughout biology and things that you can see this all over the place. Let me use a giraffe as an example, okay? A giraffe has this really long neck, state the obvious. And because he has this huge long neck, he has to get blood up to his head, state the obvious. So he's got this heart that pumps blood at a tremendous rate so that it can get blood all the way up to his neck. Now here's the problem. When the giraffe goes to lower his head, that heart continues to pump at a tremendous rate. And when the giraffe lowers his head, gravity and the force of that heart would literally shoot into the giraffe's head and would cause it to go dizzy and pass out every time he lowers his head for a drink of water. What a bummer that would be. You know what I'm saying? It's like a giraffe would sit there and think to himself, you know, I want to get water, but I can't. If I go down to get water, I'm going to pass out. And I'm really thirsty right now. You know, and then he's like trying to flirt with the other girl giraffes. And how cool is it to like pass out every time you want to drink a water? So that's not going to happen. And then he's jealous of other giraffes who didn't evolve with long necks. He's like super ticked off. He's got a long neck. And these other people, they have short necks. And so what he does, he thinks to himself, I have to create a mechanism so that my children can drink water. Do you understand how this is not working? So when God made the giraffe, he made him so when he lowers his head, there's these vents in the sides of his head, and there's these little valves that close off that regulate that pressure so that the giraffe can have a drink of water. God made that. It wasn't like the first giraffes drank and passed out every time they drank water and said, this isn't working. There's other things. There's things like the bombardier beetle. So much debate over the bombardier beetle. First of all, it's fun to say. You can say it with me. Bombardier beetle. Bombardier beetle. It's a very fun word to say. There's tons of debate about the bombardier beetle. But creation scientists love it because it has all these intricate parts and they all have to be there for this beetle to be able to do what it does. Basically, when a predator comes, this beetle shoots fire out of its backside. Yeah. Kind of like some of you after Chili Sunday. And it's very accurate. I mean, it can shoot it in different directions, and it can do all kinds of things. And the key is, if this beetle didn't have everything it needed to do this, especially there's this trap door on the back of the beetle that once it shoots fire out, this trap door shuts it off so this fire doesn't, like, back up on them, you know? Now, imagine if that trap door wasn't there. The first time he shot fire, he'd be like, whoa, that was a bad idea. Junior, if you ever shoot fire, grow yourself a trapdoor. It's going to make life a whole lot better for you. And I was reading some of these like arguments because, again, evolution, they're like, well, it's so easy to know how that beetle just evolved into that design. All it would have to do, this is what the theory was when I was reading it, all it would have to do is create this membrane within inside of itself. And then it would have to create this passage tube where it would suck this fluid into here. And then all it would have to do is then create this outside trap door thing. And I'm like, oh yeah, that's all it would have to do. When's the last time you created some membrane on the inside of yourself? When's the last time you could just go create yourself a trap door? Amen? Out the back. Your wife would be like, please. Just believe. Keep the faith. Evolution. You need it. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Yes. It's like, it's so much easier to acknowledge that God created and designed all these things. And it's more believable. They're both beliefs. I'm trying to tell you, they're both beliefs. Which belief is more believable? You know, another one would be the woodpecker. I love the woodpecker. Woody the woodpecker, all woodpeckers. They're awesome. The idea of the woodpecker. The woodpecker pecks about 12,000 times in one day. And he pecks with such force that any other bird that didn't have what the woodpecker has, if they pecked like the woodpecker, would literally shake their brains out of their heads, loose in their heads. Isn't that crazy? But yet God, in his intricate design, placed a cushion on the inside of the skull of the woodpecker to absorb the force when the woodpecker pecks into that tree. Isn't that awesome? Imagine the first time, if this evolution thing, the first time this woodpecker like hits the wood and his brain like shakes out of his head, he'd be like, whoa, that was a bad idea. And again, same thing. Tell Junior to develop a cushion in his head. The other thing is, the way that without God's design, the force of the woodpecker, his eyes would pop out of his head too. But God made him in such a way. Again, evolution. The first time they hit that thing, one eye pop out. Oh, man! I need to develop myself something to keep those guys in. And in a billion years, we're going to have this act together. Just give us time. Give us enough time and our eyes will stop popping out of our heads. The other cool thing about a woodpecker is when they peck, there's a membrane that comes down over their eye to keep the wood from falling into their eyes. See, these things were supposed to make us say, God, you're awesome. But what happens is because the world doesn't want there to be a God. and all the implications of that, they resist it. Are you understanding this? I mean, when you think about the universe and the perfect balance that we see in the universe, like we heard in the song this morning, you know, the distance from the sun, the earth is, the distance from the sun. You know, if we were any closer to the sun, the water on this planet would turn into vapor and we would have no water on the planet because the heat would rise so high, we would lose all of our water, thus life ceased to exist. If we were further away, all the water would freeze and we couldn't exist because there'd be no water on this planet. The size of the earth lends itself to the gravity that we need on this planet. The tilt and the rotation of the earth gives itself so that our seasons, we would have equal distribution of light and heat and winter and cold and all that stuff so that all of our food chain could exist. The nearby planets that God put in our solar system, things like Jupiter and Saturn, God put them there with their tremendous magnetic fields so that they would take about 90% of the space debris that would nail this planet. It's like God put those planets exactly where they need to be and made them the size they needed to be to protect and watch over us. That's awesome. There are so many things. The moon is in its place so that it could create the tides in the ocean to clean the ocean. But God didn't just make things to make things functional scientifically. He made them for beauty. He made them for us to enjoy. I mean, what would romance be without a moon, everybody? Hey, Italians couldn't get anything done without the moon. All of their songs, everything. It's all about just romance under the moon. Gondolas would be worthless. Are you understanding? God put these things there to speak of his love for us. He put them there for your eyes, not his eyes. You know, people say, oh, it's such a waste of space, this big universe and all of its intricacies for us, you know, for just this group of us here on the planet. See, for us, it sounds like waste because we don't understand God's power and ability. In God's mind, it seems like extravagant love to do all this to make sure you have life. To make sure you have what you need to live. It's supposed to speak of his love for you. We say it's a waste. He says, I'm just bragging on you. Are you understanding? Amen. Our atmosphere with its nitrogen and its oxygen, all these things. You know, even Jesus, in talking about being in good company, believing in creation, do you know Jesus believed in creation? Matthew chapter 18, verse 4. Have you not read that he who created them, Jesus speaking, from the beginning, made them male and female? According to the Bible, we did not evolve. We were made by God. That's what I'm trying to help you with today. To me, that's the biggest lie of evolution. The biggest tragedy is it takes away that you were made on purpose. That somebody out there wanted you here. And will walk with you and be with you. The designer that designed all this stuff also designed you. And all of this was for you, so that you could live and know and walk with him. Like an artist who paints the background of a painting, only to prepare it for its key subjects of which he'll place in that painting, God painted this universe that he might place you upon it. Like parents who prepare a nursery so that the object of their affection can then be set in that nursery. God prepared all this that he might set you inside of it. Are you understanding this? It's supposed to speak of his character. Creation is supposed to speak of his love, supposed to speak of his nature, and supposed to help you understand that he's there for you when you need him. I would like to close in a word of prayer. Would you please stand with me? God is real. God made you. And God will receive you one day in eternity. You are not foolish or unintelligent because you choose to believe there is a God and that the God of the Bible and how God made you is the way God made you. That doesn't make you ridiculous. It doesn't belittle you. You're in great company. Amen? Let me pray over you. Heavenly Father, right now in Jesus' name, I pray over all those watching and listening and the sound of my voice. I really believe today we needed to take something that sometimes we can kind of stick it off to the side like, oh, everybody believes that, or oh, it's not a big deal. The world attacks this core belief every day. We must know why we believe what we believe. And Lord, I pray for our house. I pray for Life Church. I pray for Body of Christ all over the world that God, we would not be embarrassed or ashamed to say we believe there is a God and we believe that we are made in his image. Made in his image. And there is meaning to life, and there is absolute truth, and there is right, and there is wrong. And Lord, we give you thanks that creation speaks to us about who you are as a creator, your goodness, speaks to us about who you are as our Father who'll take care of us. And Lord, today I pray all of those realities in our lives. Maybe people are going through a tough time, and just hearing good theology stories right now isn't going to cut it. But maybe some good logical reasons of why they believe in God, maybe that's going to help them through their difficult time right now. That they can look at the world around them and say, there must be someone who put all this together. God must be there. And Lord, I pray in their moment of desperation that they would cry out to you and they would know that you are there. I bless this house to know you on every level. I pray today as we walk out of here, it's like our eyes would be opened and we begin to see you everywhere we look. We look at some roses at home. We look at the trees around us. We begin to look at how our knee heals when we scrape it. And we stand in awe again at the Creator who created and put all this together. And Jesus who holds all things together by the word of his power. Lord, we give you the praise for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Before I dismiss you, I need to give people an opportunity to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. I've been telling you all day, there is a God, there is a God. And everything around you is supposed to point you to his love for you and to help you see he's big enough to take care of you. The Bible tells us that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Everybody needs a Savior. The Bible goes on to say that the wages of that sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. Finally, the Bible says, all who will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. You understand why all this took place? Why is all this creation here in the first place? Because God wanted a relationship with you. So that's why today I can't leave this day without giving you an opportunity for a relationship. He didn't make all this just so that we can go, wow, creation's cool. He did all this so that he could walk with you. Amen. And so today, if you're out of relationship with God, let's get it right. Can everyone bow your heads and close your eyes for just a minute? I'm going to give some privacy. I'm not going to call you to the front. I want to pray for you right at your seat. But as I do this, I'm going to ask you to be brave enough to acknowledge you want prayer. Basically, you're saying, I've never had a relationship with God and I want to give my heart to him today. Or you're saying, I used to walk with him, but I've walked away and I want to get restored today. I want to have a relationship with my real God. If that's you today and you want prayer with everyone's head bowed and eyes closed, all you need to do, would you please just slip up your hand right where you are and I'll pray for you today. There's a hand there. There's a hand there. Anybody else? Pray for me, Pastor. There's a hand over there. Pray for me here in the center. Anybody else? Put your hand up. Another one in the back. Awesome. I want to get right with God. Anybody else? Don't leave this place out of relationship with God. Just put it up and I'll pray for you. There's another hand there. Awesome. Anybody else? There's another hand. Yay. Anybody else? Put your hand up and we'll pray for you right where you are today. There's another hand in the center. Awesome. Anybody else today? Another hand. Thank you. Anybody else today? All right, church, let's all pray together, would you please, so they're not praying by themselves. Let's call on the name of the Lord, and he promises to save you today. Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you that you see me just as I am. I know I've sinned, and I've walked away from you. I receive Jesus Christ today as my Lord and Savior. I believe that he died for me and that he rose again. Please forgive me of my sins. Wash me and cleanse me. Make me new. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Take every part of me now. Be my God. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you celebrate all those today? That was awesome. I'm about to dismiss you, and as I do, if you raised your hand today and if you would like to, we have some pastors up here in the front. Pastor Bev Tucker's over here, and she'll have some others with her. They have Bibles for you. They have all kinds of materials to help you with your walk with God. So while everyone else is leaving, if you want to join her up here, she would love to resource you any way she can to help you. If I get my other prayer teams to come to the front, they're going to be here. I want you to know who they are. They're trustworthy couples and people that go through all kinds of training and classes, and they're here to pray for you if you're sick. They're here to pray for you to be filled with the Spirit. If you need freedom, if you need a miracle, they're here to pray for you for miracles. God still does miracles. But they're good, trustworthy people that you can get ministry from. I'm going to close in a word of prayer. I remind you, tonight, 6 o'clock, encounter Brother Gary Wood. Heavenly Father, I pray as we go out there with just a joy in our heart, great conversation, pointing out to each other, God made that, God made that, and God made me. Lord, I bless them this week to explore and to see you in everything. We give you all the glory and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.